Welcome to Eugeria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Eugeria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Eugeria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Eugeria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. This is Sam Grass in Atlanta, Georgia. Brad is traveling today, so I will be solo, but we have a great show. Joining us today in the studios in Atlanta is Jane Hibbert with Homestead Hospice. She is a registered nurse, and her official title is Nurse Liaison. I'm going to call her a marketer, but she's probably upset with that. Good morning. How are
Good
you,
morning.
Jane? Good morning. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Jane. Tell us how you got into nursing, I guess, to begin with. Tell us your career and steps as it led up to Homestead.
Well, I've been a registered nurse for 36 years. I first started out going to Virginia Tech in Virginia and was a sociology major and realized I might need to get something more official in the lines of a job. So I was fortunate enough to go on to Medical College Virginia and obtain also a BS degree there in nursing. I later was a nurse clinically for about 8 to 10 years, and I was ER and ICU, which was suited my personality very well.
Those, I know a little bit about those. Those are quite tense, stress-filled positions.
Correct.
And you like working under stress?
Obviously, I must.
Okay. And how did you tell us the transition from that emergency room situation to Homestead Hospice?
Well, completely different. I took a course of working for a company named Herman Miller, who had a healthcare division and designed interiors of hospitals. I was very fortunate. I started out as a nurse consultant, later went into a marketing role. Was with them for 20 years, traveled all over the world, mainly government facilities, and designed the interiors. And then I had a child late in life and decided I needed to stay home. And that was when I looked around to see what was good as a clinician in nursing. I wanted to get back, but not in the actual hospitals. So I was fortunate enough to find actually a marketing job in hospice.
And tell us, if you will, what your view and of hospice. I think our listeners over the course of the years have know what hospices do, but tell us your point, why you chose that particular arena.
Up to that point, I had virtually no experience in families, my family, or friends in hospice, so I really did not know what the benefits were and how it applied to the family. As time went on, I got to be very passionate about it simply because I saw families in need, suffering, anxious, didn't know where to turn, who to turn to, and lots of calls that we would get were simply on, I don't know where to go. So hospice, of course, is paid by Medicare 100%, and a lot of insurances also pay for it. So I looked at it as more of a mission rather than a job. And it became my passion simply because folks are in need in these crises, and it's not just the patient, it is the whole family.
And tell us your transition. I know that you said you were looking for something that you, I think, could stay home or at least rear a child. How did that mesh out? Did you stay home for a period of time or then and work part-time?
Actually, when I meant stay home, it wasn't traveling to Europe every month. So that was the big transition. I worked for a company. I was actually out in the Douglasville area, and it worked out well. I traveled around that area just by day, so I didn't have a lot of overnights or anything like that. As time went on, I wanted to get back into a little bit more of a clinical, using my nursing along with the marketing, and I was fortunate that the CEO of Homestead called me personally and asked me if I would come talk with her, and I wasn't actually looking, but it as I talked to her, I realized that this is where I needed to be.
Before we get to specifics about Homestead, let me ask a question. And being 30-some years in the medical arena with some clinical background, some business background, I'm going to ask a question and see if you can see what your response might be. The nature of healthcare is going to change, continue to change dramatically. There's going to be less inpatient beds, less inpatient stays, less treatment done inpatient status. Where do you see hospice playing into that evolving process? I guess my question is hospice going to kind of remain as it is, or do you see it changing along with the industry? And if so, how?
Well, hospice will greatly increase, I would suspect, simply because hospitals no longer can admit that dying patient in the same structure as before. Not only from the fact that it's changing in the reimbursement for hospitals, but there is a lot of push to see what outcomes are. And the outcomes being, if you're in the hospital, did you outcome with something that is good for the patient? And lots of times patients go in and do a lot of testing just to comfort families, or the physician needs to do that by protocol. And lots of times it's a transition to the family understanding that everything has been done. So it will greatly improve, and it's obvious by what's happening already in it, and they're really scrutinizing that. But hospice can really feel a void there if people are educated on it and not be afraid of it.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about those terms, but you're absolutely right. As the number of inpatient days and beds decrease, then those terminal individuals are not going to be afforded that opportunity.
So, correct.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, let's go for the sake of new listeners. Give us a 30,000-foot definition of hospice and what you all do.
Hospice is a philosophy, actually, of care to comfort the patient and comfort the family. And I want to emphasize also comfort the family. It is designed in order that if the patient is given a diagnosis, a terminal diagnosis of 6 months to less to live, then they meet that criteria. And we can't always predict if it's 6 months or less. Some people get afraid by that, and I want to assure the listeners that that aspect is not in our hands or anyone else's. So if they meet the medical criteria set out by Medicare, then they qualify for it. Once they, for example, have given up maybe the chemotherapies and any aggressive therapy. The actual hospice started in the 60s in Europe, came to the United States in 72, and then in 82, Medicare embraced it as paying for it. To the current of what is known as hospice care, and it is designed to be an inclusive interdisciplinary team of people. It isn't just one individual going in for one thing. It's inclusive to help them with bathing, to help them learn to move around if they've been bedbound. It's all kinds of different things. And the beauty of it is that they then get to know those caregivers. And when it comes into a more crisis stage, they're already involved with the family and they welcome them in their homes.
Yeah, let me support in your position that it's not for necessarily always an end-of-life situation. My father and the listeners, our listeners know this story very well, mm-hmm. had congestive heart failure, COPD, mm-hmm. Through a series of events basically said no more brought hospice in. It was a hospice nurse that recognized adverse interactions between certain medications, changed the medications. He lived 5 years.
Exactly.
And it was hospice that initiated that. No one else. He had suffered for probably 5 years with this poor interaction going on. No one knew it. And it was a hospice nurse that recognized it, got it changed, and he lived 5 quality years.
Yes, and that happens frequently, not because the patient wasn't eligible at the time of admission. They are eligible, but they actually get better in certain diseases, processes, and pulmonary disease is a perfect example that once monitored. And a lot of stress is on the family, too, having to go to the doctor and fulfill certain guidelines required to keep their medications and so forth up. But we're delighted when people get better and we have to take them off service. So and the benefit doesn't exhaust. So it's not like it goes away because you've been on it so long. So that's also the beauty of it.
Yeah, let's develop that point for our listeners real quickly. Because my father improved and was no longer terminal, the hospice nurse was still available. She just didn't come on a regular basis. But we did have her come probably once every 6 months because of whatever it may be. He either had the flu or a cold or something. And she brought us through that whole process. Like it was like an on-call nurse. It was really great for us.
Well, we are bound by having to be guided under physicians. We do have our own physicians that guide us. Lots of the private physicians allow us to take over that day-to-day care. I can't speak to your father's situation, but in some cases, when they graduate off of hospice, they go and are supervised by home health lots of times, and then we may get them back. But if we're doing our job right, we are always touching base with that family. We can't clinically, if they're not on our service, do a whole lot, but except for give them some emotional support. But once they are eligible again, we immediately put them back on.
Let's go to the subject of Homestead Hospice. You've been in the clinical field and medical arena for quite some time. I guess my first question is why? Why Homestead? Tell us a little bit about that organization.
As I mentioned, I actually, my first job in hospice, I went to work for a very, very large corporation, which I learned a whole lot. I had actually worked for a large corporation when I was in the other job. So I was very familiar with the structures of a large corporation. And what attracted me to Homestead was the individuality we give to patients. And I have several incidents of where those patients were looked at not as what a protocol check sheet might tell you have to do, but were looked at as that individual human being and that individual family's needs. I'm very proud to represent Homestead, and I've told people who know me from previous, it is a delight to work for a company that I know my nursing care it will respond to a patient and a family member immediately.
Yeah, well, we were talking before the broadcast began. You related two stories, and I think that now is probably an appropriate time to divulge those, to tell those, and that will allow our listeners to understand what you just said about the individuality that Homestead takes when they approach their patients. So go ahead and tell us about those.
One was a gentleman who was in a large hospital system in Atlanta, and he actually lived outside of Atlanta. He had, during his course of life, had been actually on dialysis for 10 years. So he had numerous problems, pulmonary as well as cardiac. He actually, what we call in the medical profession, coded, and it means that his heart stopped and his respiration stopped. He was revived, and he actually was able to speak to his family again and doctors. His only wish was to go home. And I mean physically go home, not to go somewhere else and die out of the hospital, but to go to his home so his friends and family could be around. I got a call around 3 or 4 one afternoon, and I went to see the discharge planner, and she said, "Are you really going to be able to get him home tonight?" I said, "Certainly." So in order to do that, and those who are in the profession will understand the difficulty of maybe getting equipment, medication, nursing, all in a home within less than 3 hours. We were able to accomplish that, plus he lived about an hour out of Atlanta. All that happened. He also went home on a medication that Homestead allows for us to keep the patient on in order that he got home. It was actually making provision for his heart to continue beating. He got home, his whole family got around, and he passed at 6 o'clock in the morning. The family called me the next day, and although they were extremely upset about his passing, they honored his wish, and they felt very good about that. I had another one of similar to that, and that this patient was going to come on our service next day, and that night he went into a very decline and needed some extra medications and a lot of extra support, but he wanted to go home. So his wife, with the nursing home in this case, called me and said asked if could we get him home. And this is 8 o'clock. We got him home by 10:30. Bed was there, medication was there, nursing was there. We admitted him. The wife later called me back and said, "You know, the biggest thing was when he was rolled into the house, the relief she saw in his face that he was back in his home. And when he got home, he got to see his friends, his neighbors, all these people that probably wouldn't have gone to see him for the last time. And he, too, passed within 24 hours. Both of those have stuck with me because Homestead prides themselves in taking care of the patient at home. And most people would rather be there. They don't want to be a bother to their family, so lots of times they won't always say it. But if they're asked, they will say they want to be at home. And frankly, the families want them home if they are supported.
Let's clarify something for our listeners so that we don't have a misunderstanding. You spoke about the first gentleman who had who had coded and was on the medication, allowing him his heart to continue to beat. Your job is not to remove medication. Tell us, develop that for us.
That is a very strong point, and that is most hospices, and I can't speak to a lot, but they go by the need. If the patient needs that medication or if they can still swallow, there's at a point where they can't swallow, so there would be no reason to continue with Aricept or some of those medications that aren't doing anything to prolong their lives. So those may be taken, but it's always with the permission of the family. One of the strong myths in hospice is that we take everything away and we give them medication. Well, frankly, we don't. We keep them on the medications, and as time goes on, things are decreased. Blood pressure medications, they don't need if the blood pressure has started to drop. So we look at that continuously. So to just emphasize to the listeners that nothing is taken away until it's examined by a medical doctor and the team involved in it.
Yeah, and in this case, the withdrawal of this particular medication, I'm sure, was proper protocol given his physical condition.
Even if he had stayed in the hospital or if he'd gone to what's known as an inpatient hospice, both times, that is not a long-term medication. You take it away and immediately the effects go away.
Okay.
So it's not of a curative nature. It was just pumping his heart in order that he get home, but they would have taken it away in the hospital because that was his wishes. The proper protocol was followed, the family's wishes, and so forth.
Tell us, Jane, what in the course of a day, what do you find to be the most challenging in your day?
Well, the most challenging is twofold. The challenge I have is the medical model. Of course, we are not a preventive care medical model. We're a sick care. So historically, we look at keep giving things, and then nothing is looked at. Well, I say nothing, not really, but limited look is given to the quality of the life. And so I think it's the education that needs to be stepped up. Not these shows like you're doing is a great example of what needs to happen for people to understand that we're not trying to rush anything. We're trying to support the thing. And that includes the medical community. Again, as a nurse, I didn't get any training in hospice. And I dare say a lot of other people are in that same position. And I always say people, when they say, well, what would you do? Or how would they approach their doctor? I'd say, oh, ask the doctor how he would handle his family. Or how would they, if it was him, what would he want to happen? Because they're honest with them at that point. So sometimes it's a difficult subject, but if we're in team with those physicians and those facilities, we're helping them educate. No matter which hospice company it is, we can maybe talk to them in a different way. I don't talk about end of life. I talk about what benefits of support we can give to you. And that seems to alleviate the pressure of making that decision.
That's a great answer. And I'm going to ask another leading question that might be easier for you. What's the most rewarding thing that you do in the course of a day?
Well, I had someone ask me that the other day, is I don't see how you can be in this profession. Well, when you get calls from even your referral sources, and I'm fortunate to work with some really good people who also have the heart for hospice. And when they call you and they tell you that the family has called and said that you and your company have been able to do things that they never imagined to help support them. One of the things that we work with is not just that patient. It's their dramatic changes in the home with the elderly. Then it may be the husband or wife that needs some support. So we help to get agencies in there, non-for-profits, governmental agencies to help support them. People don't realize we're not just taking care of that. So when I hear one of those folks call me back, or a family member, so I get lots of calls back from the families just thanking me, that's my reward. It's not like, oh yeah, I got a hospice patient. I'm just saying the family felt better about it. That's my guess what you're saying, my satisfaction.
Yeah. I was listening to you, it occurred to me that we didn't touch upon this earlier, so let's go back to Homestead. Mm-hmm. Is Homestead a national organization? Where is it located? Tell us the size and demographics, if that's the right term of it.
Well, the corporate headquarters are in Roswell. Mm-hmm. We have locations in Cartersville, Noonan, Jackson, and Athens. And also, we have a site in Arizona. Not sure why Arizona, but
You have to begin expanding somewhere.
That's right. And they do have plans to expand into some other states. In those offices, they have the complete staff of administrative as well as nursing coverage. The biggest criteria in hospice that I see as an indication of whether that hospice is committed to doing the right thing is that they have the staff close to the patient, because the family doesn't want to deal with somebody that's a two-hour drive, you know, they want their people that's taking care of them to be within Medicare guidelines, which is within an hour or 50-mile radius.
That's a great point.
And that's why we're in five offices.
Great point. I know that you talked about Homestead Hospice being focused on the individual, and individualization, I think, is what you said. what other aspect is Homestead bringing into this arena that is different? You mentioned support for the families, and what support is available for them?
Well, if people are in, or if the patients are in facilities, there's a whole staff of people that help support those facilities in doing activities for those folks. And we have people that go and educate them on different topics. But I just recently went to one where a dancer actually interpreted some Bible phrases, and the whole staff and all the patients were able to benefit from it, and our patient as well. So they are absolutely big in that. We also have a non-for-profit foundation called the Hope Foundation, and what that is, we just had a fundraiser for that, and what that is, and this is a real important element, there are those things that we cannot provide through the Medicare benefits, and therefore the foundation is able to help with those things. A patient's may not be able to pay his electric bill. A patient may need dentures. A patient may need someone to come in and be there longer times. And I'm not saying it would be any sitters or anything like that, but say they need an outside source of some sort, we can help to accommodate it through the foundation. So it really is, our folks are going and looking at it in a bigger picture and not just what we can provide through Medicare. We're limited in that to go by the Medicare rules, and we first go by that. But the foundation is able to buy them things, school supplies for the kids, support for the kids.
I want to emphasize, I have awareness of the Hope Foundation and didn't think through this. But in the future, as the Hope Foundation is out trying to raise some support, I want to invite you and Jean back on the show, and we'll do a show specific for that.
Well, I know it'll be an annual event, at least annual, for the Hope Foundation fundraising. It's also a time that people in the community can also see what we are about as a company and and meet the employees.
Great information. I'm going to anything else about Homestead that you want to bring to our listening? Anything of interest there?
I can't think of anything right now, but right. Thank you.
One more question, and if for our listeners that might be out there who have this view of Homestead, of hospice being a situation that is related to the final hours of life, and they have some apprehensions about it, what piece of advice might you give them as they explore the possibilities?
Well, this actually came from a family member of the gentleman that we were able to get home. And she said to me, well, why wouldn't somebody use it? And I said, that's a good question. And the reason, and I can't speak for everybody, but I know when my own mother was going on it, I just didn't know enough. And I encourage you to call us if you just need to understand more about the benefit and what it means. And what I try to tell folks, let's focus on the benefits that we were able to provide, not necessarily the criteria of whether they meet hospice criteria, because we will abide by those criteria and we will let you know. But what's important that you have gathered information on what those benefits are for perhaps future times.
That's a great piece of advice. Jane, I really appreciate this. We want to invite you back in the future, especially you and Jean, as it relates to the Hope Foundation. We certainly appreciate you being our guest. And for our listeners that might want to contact you and Homestead, how can they reach you?
The office number is 678-966-0077. We're located in Roswell. That doesn't mean we just take care of patients in Roswell. We are all over the state. And you can call that number, or also you could also email me at jhibbard, @homesteadhospice.net.
And for our listeners, we want to remind them not only of the Roswell office, but of the Cartersville, Athens, Noonan, and Jackson offices, correct?
Yes, and the website is www.homesteadhospice.com.
Jane, thank you very much. We appreciate it. Good information, and we want to invite you back in the future.
Thank you very much.
Good. That's it for today. We want to once again thank Jane for being with us. We want to remind our listening audience that if they wish to listen to a rebroadcast of today's show, they can do so at eugeriaradio.com. And as we always close, if the youth of this nation is its greatest national resource, it goes without saying that the seniors of this nation is its greatest national treasure. Thank you and God bless.
Eugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.